Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 51. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 51. And he said, the Lord Jesus said unto him, Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, plural, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. My title tonight is Seeing Heaven Now. Seeing Heaven Now. You can enter into heaven right now. Not later, but you can know even now where you will spend life in eternity. John chapter 1. I believe is one of the great, great chapters in the Bible. And here in this chapter, we find the first week of Christ's earthly ministry. And if you have noticed, verse 29, verse 35, verse 43, it is very chronological. One day after the next day, after the next day. So it is chronological, accurate. John is writing with great accuracy to make us to understand this is not just a nice story. These are credible events. This is factual. It did happen one day after the other in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is also a chapter. Oh, what a chapter, really. In the gospel, this gospel, if we may call it, the gospel of great things. Great things. Everything you need to know about God, how to be saved, how to be reconciled, is given to us in this great gospel. You know what is the purpose for which the gospel of John was written? John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. We find there the purpose. Oh, Christ did so many miracles that are not written in this gospel. But he says in verse 31, these things have been written so that you may know that Christ is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you shall receive eternal life in his name. That is the purpose of this gospel. It is the gospel of great things. And actually, the last verse of the same chapter says, Christ did so many things that if they were recorded, really, the whole world couldn't contain. It's, of course, a hyperbole to say that the whole world, we couldn't. It is endless, infinite, really, when it comes to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the minimum that has been recorded for us suffices to make you and me to be reconciled with the living God. But the chapter is also giving us a number of people who have found the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I read just a portion of it. Who are those people? Oh, we have Andrew. And Andrew brought his brother Peter. Simon Peter, as he is called in the text. Then you find Philip. Philip found his Nathanael, and some people believe that Nathanael here is the same person as Bartholomew among the disciples, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you find in these people, I don't have time to show it to you, but just if you rehearse it later, a number of times you find the expression to find, come and see. And these expressions occur so many times in this chapter. These were the first converts, actually, of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friends, don't be misled. It is not about them. The whole chapter is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never done this, but if you might forgive my foolishness, I want to list for you just in a bird view, a quick survey of this chapter because it gives us some wonderful titles, some wonderful names, some wonderful attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to spend time on it just later if you... Oh, the first one, Christ is the Word. As Calvin said, he's the speech, actually. He's the verb. That's how Christ is described for us in this chapter. But Christ is described as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is God, but he is also the Creator. He is the light. He is the true light. And in verse 14, oh, the Word became flesh. We know everyone has memorized that verse in the Bible. God, being the Word, he tabernacled among us. He became a man like us, the God-man. But you find also that Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the grace giver. In verse 18 of our chapter, another verse that is so classic in the Gospel of John, we are told that Christ is the Son of God, the one who made us to know God, the one who has come to explain God to us. And if you continue in the chapter, verse 29, John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He is not just the Lamb of God there, but the implicit information, he is also the Redeemer, who will come to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins of his people. So as you scroll, you continue in this chapter 1, you will find also that Christ is called the Messiah. Even we are given that interpretation. What does the Messiah mean? It means the anointed one, the special one, the chosen one, and the one who is going to take our place if we trust in him on the cross of Calvary. But as you continue, you will see that Christ is called Jesus of Nazareth. These are names given to him. But when Philip spoke to Nathanael, you know what he said to Nathanael? He said, "We have found the one about whom Moses and the prophet have spoken." And you continue the two last names among the many. It is packed, pregnant with so many names and titles and attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us really to here in verse 51. In verse 50, as you see it, you will find the confession of Nathanael. I said verse 50, actually it's verse 49. Look at it in verse 49. We are given all the names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, meaning master, meaning really superintendent, that's the meaning, "and thou art the Son of God," another name given to the Lord Jesus Christ, "thou art the King of Israel," another title. And you come in verse 51, and he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You have two titles there, actually, of the Lord Jesus Christ. One is the ladder that takes you to the heavenly places, to the very throne of God. And the second title given to us in verse 51, Christ is the Son of Man. Oh, my dear friends, come back to Nathanael, because Nathanael will encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will trust in the Lord, he will believe in the Lord, and he will repent from his sins, and he makes that wonderful and rich confession before the Lord. He said, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You see, that is the confession each one of us should make in his life in order to be saved. But in verse 50, look at verse 50, Christ said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Thou shalt see greater things than these. That's what Christ is telling Nathanael. And from there, he gives him that great promise. But actually, by giving that promise in verse 51, that's really the verse which concerns us tonight. That verse summarizes what we read about Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. An event that has happened 2,000 years before Christ spoke about it. And now Christ is taking that event about Jacob and he applies it to himself. That singular event spoken about Jacob in the dark of the night, when he met in his dream, he saw that ladder which starts here on earth up to heaven, and above in heaven there, guess what? Christophany, an early appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven there. He saw above heaven there, whom did he see? He saw the Lord, we are told. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ applies that dream of Jacob and whatever he saw to himself. Oh, my dear friends, Jacob's ladder is no more a mystery. You ask people of old, maybe Jacob understood it that time. But here is Christ applying that mystery to himself. And Jacob, we know about Jacob, he was a man on the run. He was a fugitive. He has lost everything. He manipulated his father with craftier scheme, and he lied to his brother, and now he has lost everything. He's on the run, and God gave him a dream. I don't want to dwell really on Jacob. I want to emphasize here on what the Lord Jesus Christ is applying this dream of Jacob about himself. But in that night, God gave him a dream. He didn't seek for that dream. God gave him the dream. And in the dark of the night, he is going to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw that ladder. My dear friends, we don't need a dream in order to find the Lord. We don't need to have a stone as our pillow. That's very hard, even. How could you have a stone as a pillow? But on that night, he had it. I'm explaining this thing just to give you three reasons why we don't need any dream today. The first reason is, now in the Bible, we have firm and solid promises given to us by God. In the same way that God gave promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the same way God has given us a multitude of promises in his word. So we have something better. We have the promises of God in his word. The second argument why we don't need a dream in order to find the Lord today is that we don't need symbols anymore. The ladder in Genesis chapter 28 was a symbol. It was a picture. It was an illustration. It was an image. It was an analogy of something greater. But now, no more dreams. We have the reality. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. The third reason why I don't need a dream to find the Lord anymore: now we have the full canon. We have the full revelation of God with us. I may even give a fourth one as it comes to my mind. The fourth reason: today, God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us through his son. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And God speaks to us in Hebrews chapter 12 by the blood of his son, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ crieth out even greater than the blood of Abel. But how does God speak to us again? God speaks to us, you know, through prayer. And the first prayer you and me we need in order to relate to the living God, let's call it, please, the prayer of repentance and faith. You see, prayer is what? Your prayer, the petition, the flavor, the sweet flavor is ascending. The picture again of the ladder, your prayer will be ascending through prayer, through that sweet flavor to the throne of God. But what is descending now? Oh, the blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of pardon, the blessing of a new heart, the blessing of being ingrafted into the family of God, the blessing of heaven. Oh, we could endless blessings that are given to you and me as we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when, guess what? When Jacob woke up that night in Genesis chapter 28, what did he see? What did he say? He said, "This is the house of God. This is a dreadful place. This is the gate of heaven." That was again Jacob's confession. Why? Because up there, he saw the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He saw his own God, and he believed. Jacob was given that gospel picture. And that is the gospel picture I want to bring before you tonight. Are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Do you really want that new nature which is given to you free of charge? But the one who made you and who came instead of speaking to you through a ladder or through angels or through even prophets, he came himself. He is the great prophet, the prophet of all prophets. But he is more than a prophet. He is the son of the living God, the second person of the Godhead. My dear friends, the picture given to Jacob that night, this is what we are speaking about tonight. You know what happened? Heaven came right to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can have access to it now. Now bear with me, please. I have four simple things still to dig in, just to present to you how you and me can enter into that inaccessible place to any natural man, staying in an unconverted state. There is no way for you to have access to that place. It is high. It is unapproachable. It is unreachable. Here are the four things, simple. The first thing is the certainty of heaven. The second, Christ says in verse 51, it's all in verse 51. The second thing, Christ says, oh, he's the Son of Man. What does it mean? The third thing, I want to speak about the promise, that promise Christ gave to Nathanael, promising to him that in believing, he is not, you see, believing is seeing, but believing is seeing great things. Not superficial, artificial, carnal, natural, but it is seeing supernatural things. And the fourth thing I want to speak about, the way to heaven, explaining again about that ladder which is given to us in the Word of God. So let me say a few things about the certainty of heaven. Look at it again in verse 51. And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Oh, that's the certainty. You know, that word, by the way, the word hereafter there doesn't mean tomorrow or next year or in the future or in eternity. The Greek word actually there is right now. Right now, you shall see the gate of heaven, the door of heaven open, and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So the first thing about heaven, it is a certainty. My dear friends, heaven is a place. It is a pure place. It is a perfect place. It is a populated place. But how do we get into heaven? And the certainty is given to us by those words, which the Lord Jesus Christ has said so many times. By the way, again, 25 times in the Gospel of John, this is the first one. "Verily, verily, I solemnly declare unto you." And if you prefer, actually the Greek word is amen, amen. Oh, my dear friends, as I speak, when looking at the text here, I think it is a triple declaration. Look at it again. "Verily, verily, and I say unto you." So a triple statement just to make you be sure about what is going to happen. Because when that expression is said about the Lord Jesus Christ, it means something absolutely true is going to be thundered. Something great and solemn is going to be spoken about. And here, oh, the vital subject and truth that is going to be spoken about is about heaven. Heaven is a certainty. It is not just a dream there. It is not just some euphoria, or it is not just some utopia there. Oh yes, it's nice to be in heaven. It is a place where you will be fed by angels, doing nothing except of relaxing. That is not the heaven we speak about in the Bible. It is a place of God, where God dwelleth, where saints are being serving the Lord day and night, worshiping Him. It is a place where angels are serving the living God. Oh, my dear friends, heaven is a certainty. And Christ gives a triple certitude statement to say this is where he wants us to be. But you see, no rabbi, no teacher in Jesus' time would ever dare to speak and start any statement or any discourse or any speech with that statement. None of them. You read the Old Testament, New Testament, none of them would ever dare to do that. Why? Because amen, amen is the God of Amen in the Old Testament. And Christ in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 is called the Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 19 and 20, you know what we are told there? That God's promises, all God's promises are yea and amen. Amen is the Hebrew word. Yea is the Greek word. You see the combination of two of them? Oh, there is no doubt. There are no uncertainties when it comes to heaven. That's why, my dear friends, when you and me, we pray, we end our prayers with amen, because we cannot change anything. We only plead. It is a vow, a blessed vow. We wait upon the Lord. It will be so. And let it be so. That's what the word amen means. But one last thing in this first heading. You know, when Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the you there is plural, as I mentioned earlier. He's not speaking only to Nathaniel. He's speaking to all of us. And Christ is saying, heaven belongs to me. I have the keys of heaven. But let me come to the second one. I see the time is running. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. That's the title by which the Lord Jesus Christ always called himself. You will never find anyone calling him in the New Testament the Son of Man. But he gives himself that honorific title. It is a messianic title. It is used at least 80 times, as I said, in the Gospels. And where does it come from? Back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And now, the Daniel's prophecy is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it means? God in Christ is going to rule over this world. Please, if you are a believer or a non-believer, never think that Christ is going only to rule in the next world, he's the king only in the next world. No, he is the king now. He is the ruler now. He is the governor now. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings now. And that is what Daniel is telling us. And here Christ is saying, God in Christ will rule over this world. And God, the God-man, came to bring heaven to us because we couldn't go to heaven by ourselves. My dear friends, you know what John 3 verse 13 says? No man has ever ascended into heaven by this, but the Son of Man, which was in heaven, came down from heaven. Nobody, no human born, man born of a woman, has ever come down from heaven. We all wish, you and me, through conversion, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an assurance that when we believe, we will ascend to him. And when Christ comes back, we will descend with him, of course. But no man except the Lord Jesus Christ has ever ascended. So he descended from heaven so that we sinners may ascend to God. That's the meaning. And we see here, we are told in John 1 verse 51 that the angels were Normally, you should expect that the angels, the sequence, the order, that the angels are descending and ascending. But no, that's not what the verse is. The verse says they were ascending because God, their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on earth. So they were ascending and descending upon him, because every aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, from his birth up to his ascension until his return, his resurrection from the dead, every aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ implied the presence of angels. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says that angels are servants of those who will inherit salvation. Oh, my dear friends, I wish I could make it better for you to entice you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even angels will be serving you because you are heir of the salvation which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. But I must come to the third heading, which is a promise given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Nathanael when Christ said to him in verse 50, that he's going to see great things. Great things. And the Gospel of John, as I said, is the gospel of great things. My dear friends, if you are unconverted, you know, conversion, salvation brings. Actually, conversion is the prelude of a profusion, an avalanche of surprises and discoveries. The Greeks, the philosophy, they say, know yourself. No. It is better to know God and you will know yourself. That's how really wisdom comes to us. But what kind of great things Nathanael is going to see? What kind of great things you are going to see? May I list just a few before you as time is running, really. Oh, Nathanael is going to see. The Gospel of John is the gospel of many miracles. Even Christ raising up the dead. Lazarus, he said, come out. And Lazarus came out from the dead. The lepers, the Lord Jesus Christ healed them. The deaf, he opened their ears. The blinds, he opened their eyes. And sinners is the physician of souls, and he was able to say, thy sins are forgiven unto thee. This is the one who can forgive sin. Nathanael is going to see Christ in heaven. Nathanael is going to see Christ's ascension when the Lord Jesus Christ was ascending. 500 people were witness of that. Nathanael is going to be a witness of the conversion of 3,000 people at Pentecost. Nathanael is going to be among the 120 disciples in the upper room upon whom the Holy Spirit will come. Tongues of fire will come upon. But what about you and me when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Great things also you shall see. May I list some of them? Oh, I wish I have time to list them for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11. We have a whole list given to us there. Sinners becoming saints. Look at me, doomed and condemned, depraved as much as it could be, a worm, dust of dust, but here I'm dignified, elevated to the highest stature, to the highest position in this world and in the world to come. The world may not consider me to be anything, but before God, I'm his child, I'm his son, and he will protect me. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. What is the great things you are going to see when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You shall be moved from death to life. You shall be moved from darkness to light. You shall be moved from enmity to amity with God. And your prayers will, as I said, your prayers will be ascending to God, and the blessing will be descending upon you. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ will do in your life. You know what happened to Jacob? When Jacob believed in God and he saw great things, he was given a new name. He was given the name Israel. You know what Israel means? It means Prince of God. It means the one who fought with God. But he was given also a new life. We read in Romans chapter 9, the Lord giving a great testimony about Jacob. Jacob, I have loved. That's how God will see you. Please allow me to conclude with the way to heaven. Right from the beginning, man tried to reach heaven by his own works. Man tried to reach heaven by his own means, by his own making, by his own effort. But guess what? The result was fatal. The result was catastrophic. The result was with disastrous consequences. This is what has happened there. When man in the garden, man had to be expelled from the garden. In Genesis chapter 11, men in their stubbornness and pride, they elevated a tower. They said, we want to reach God. And you know, God has to punish them, bringing upon them a linguistic confusion. And now the verdict is all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. But the good news, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, I wish I can repeat to you all his names given in John chapter 1 again. But the Son of Man came and he gave us a new door, a new way, and he gave us a new access. Hebrews chapter 9, he gave us free access to God. And that free access was made by his own blood at the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, hang in there. Between heaven and earth, you see the ladder? Between heaven and earth, hanging on the cross of Calvary, Christ was building up the ladder. He himself is the ladder. And as I said, the angels were not actually, John 1:51, they were not ascending and descending on the ladder. They were ascending and descending on Jesus Christ himself. So he's the ladder. He's the one who takes a sinner to the living God, to the throne of grace. And as soon as you trust in him, that unreachable, inaccessible place will be given to you free of charge. My dear friends, there are so many analogies we can draw from a ladder. But this ladder takes you to the highest place. It won't leave you halfway and nowhere. This ladder is high. It is solid. It is well fixed. But what do you do with a ladder? When you have it, the first thing you need, step up on it. And we walk on it one by one, one by one. And I'm sure if I speak for myself, I learned the lesson now in my short life. When you walk on a ladder, you have to hold it tight with both hands, step after step, as you climb up. My dear friends, as I close, the first step of salvation, going up to that ladder, is by repentance and faith, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first step. May I challenge you tonight? Take that first step. Take it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never forsake you. He will never cast you away from him. He will forgive all your sins. And you don't have to wait to be there. You will be in heaven right now. Remember, heaven is not for tourists. Heaven is not for visitors. You can visit touristic places, but heaven is only for permanent residents. So once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become even now a permanent resident of heaven before you get there. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you shall be with him forever and ever. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again that heaven's door is open and Christ is the door. We don't have to go anywhere. He is right there for us, and he will hear our prayer of repentance and faith. And his blessings will be descending upon us. Oh Lord, do that mighty work of forgiveness in thy mercy tonight, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.